The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing and a magnificent Saturday as well. It's Paddy Power Gold Cup Day at Cheltenham, the feature day of the Open Meeting. We've got that to look forward to. Alongside that, we have Lingfield, Uxeter and Weatherby in the afternoon. And we have Wolverhampton to finish the day in the evening. Mick Norton, John Budden and Darren Owen will be joining you from 11:40 a.m. Set those alarm clocks once again. We're starting in the morning, so plenty of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Ben Bramley. Hi, Ben.
Hi, mate. Yeah, good shape, thank you. An absolute treat to be invited to look ahead to Saturday's racing. It's been quite a while. I think we were just thinking off air in terms of the next four successive Saturdays. You're talking about tomorrow's Paddy Power meeting and then the big meeting at Haydock the week after,
yep,
followed by the Hennessy meeting and then the Tingle Creek. So for me, the next four Saturdays are as good as it gets for jump racing fans right throughout the course of the season. Of course, we're kicking off with the Paddy Power Gold Cup tomorrow, but great supporting races as well, and an early start for the guys.
Yes, we're going to look at the first four races on this this podcast, but before we get into that, like you say, four brilliant Saturdays of racing, and I'm just trying to think, even on the flat, you usually get a quiet weekend between the big meetings, don't you?
Yeah.
Whereas four in a row like this is well, it's good to look forward to, isn't it?
Well, I was trying to equate it and thinking, if you were saying the Derby weekend, for example, yeah, which would be the first Saturday in June, and then you're talking Royal Ascot, which would be the third week in June ordinarily, but in between, what is it? I didn't know what it was, in truth. And the jump season, of course, it all revolves around the Cheltenham Festival, but for me, this is where it really kicks in. You know, everybody's really optimistic about their 10 to follow entries, yeah, or the jumps competition that you can get in William Hill retail shops, and it's the place where your dreams are still wide open for all the owners, aren't they? Anything can happen in the season, and I think we'll see some dreams made tomorrow at Cheltenham, won't we?
Yes, and that is the one thing that makes jumps racing better than flat racing for me. I've always been an advocate of the jump side of things, and it's because you get the horses coming back year in, year out. You can follow them in the kind of jumps coupon kind of way, and you get the affinity to these horses. You in the jumps coupon, obviously, you build your own stable, and you get much more involved with the jumps. I think you can follow it year in, year out, and stick with the ones you like.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more there. When I'm looking at tomorrow's racing, for example, you've got a horse like Nakara Bow, yeah, in one of the supporting races. Now, I think he ran in the Neptune about 5 or 6 years, yeah, ago, you know, and he's been coming back and having a bash at Cheltenham in various different events year on year, and he's not, you wouldn't call him a superstar, would you? I think he might have got to about 160 horse at his absolute peak, but it's one of those which racegoers really fall in love with and look forward to seeing year after year. You could even say about the Paddy Power Gold Cup itself, a horse like Finian's Rainbow, you know, he's ascended the ladder and now he's at that point, is he still atop the ladder? He's in handicap company. It's so fascinating, the dynamic of jumps racing, isn't it?
Even with him, you've got, he's been to the top, now he's got to get back to the top. It's that kind of story to it as well.
It's those sort of winners that would be absolutely cherished by the Cheltenham crowd, yeah, tomorrow. Now, you look at that Paddy Power Gold Cup, and aside from Maroni P. McCoy winning on tap night, something like Finian's Rainbow that has a bit of a backstory, you know. He didn't have a great season last year, but is a Grade 1 winning chaser. Mm-hmm. Those are the sort that the punters and the race fans really love to support in their races, don't they? And if he's led back up that hallowed walkway, yeah, then he's sure to get a rousing reception, as will any winner at Cheltenham in the next 3 days.
Okay, well, let's try and find these winners then, Ben. We're going to look at the first four on Saturday, as we mentioned. The first of which is the 12:40. It's a JCB Triumph Hurdle Trial, registered as the Presbury Juvenile Hurdle. It's a Grade 2 contest over the extended 2 miles. And, well, there's a whole host of these coming into this with a chance. Royal Irish Hussar remains unbeaten for Nicky Henderson and Barry Geraghty. You've got Artmoresque, who comes from the Paul Nichols yard that won this race last year, also has a very good strike rate. Then you've got the likes of Herod the Great, Azza, both coming into this chasing hat tricks, and yeah, so it's a great race. Look forward to start the card.
Absolutely corking race. You've got to really start with Royal Irish Hussar, because if you look at his official rating here of 142, he's not far from being an actual Triumph Hurdle winner in its own right. The only thing I would say with Royal Irish Hussar is that I'm not sure whether his ability is overestimated by that mark, you know. If you look at the Weatherby form last time out, he did beat Cadduduff. But really, the only horses that were in the mix with him throughout the race were Keltus and Zamoyski. Zamoyski's subsequently been beaten at 1-5 at Market Raisin at the weekend, which for me just weakens the form somewhat. And that 1-4-2 rating, some of these horses that are in the race are completely unexposed for me. And I'd probably like to take one or find one to take on Royal Irish Hussar in this race. The difficulty is finding it, Mark, I guess.
Yes, yeah, because there's plenty in there you could start to make a case for. So let's find out which ones you actually have on the shortlist, Ben. Who are you going to take on Royal Irish Hussar with?
Well, look, two completely unexposed horses, and I'm torn between the two. Azza would be one of them. Won at Carlisle, first time out in this country, by 6 lengths from Most Honourable. 1-6 favourite, so clearly expected to win that day. Did win at Auteuil before that in September. Again, completely unexposed, but the thing with the David Pipe stable, you want to be with this stable at this Cheltenham meeting for me. This one will have been primed for the race, and I suspect that Carlisle form seriously underplays the ability of this one. And you could say the same about the top one as well, couldn't you? This Art Moresque, who's also come from Auteuil, purchased by Paul Nichols with Daryl Jacob riding. His form does tend to revolve around a horse called Vincenzo Mio, who he's beaten and been beaten by last two spins. Been off the track a couple of months and now making his debut in this country. I fancy one of these two unexposed ones to beat the likely favourite here, Royal Irish Hussar. Not sure which one, but I'm just going to go for a tentative vote Azza over Art Moresque.
Okay. I would just side with the trend myself, Art Moresque. Paul Nichols has won the last three renewals of this. It's just a race that he targets and does well in. And the form figures from France look pretty decent. And
yeah, was it Far West last year?
It was last year, yes. And then before that, he had Hinterland and Sam Winner as well. So
yeah,
he's on a roll in this race.
That is a great stat, isn't it? I hadn't actually looked that far in terms of the previous winners. Far West had won it last year, but you're quite right. Hinterland and Sam Winner, I think, went off second favourite as well. So look at those prices there. 4-1, 6-4, 15-8. You'll get something in the middle of those prices, I would imagine, for Art Moresque, unless it's exceptional. But it's a really intriguing race to kickstart the card, isn't it? I'm just going to take Azza to beat him, but I can understand why, on the trends and the profile there, you'd go for the top one, Art Moresque.
Okay, Azza in the first race then for Ben. That's the 12:40. On to the 1:15 next, the second race on the card, and this is the Roy Blanford 65 years at Cheltenham Novices Chase. It's over the extended 3 miles, and again, plenty of winning form coming into this. But a horse that I followed last year, a horse that I backed at the festival, in fact, was African Gold, and he makes his reappearance here, Ben.
Yeah, he was a psst horse. I think he had an operation before he ran at Newbury last year when he beat Faultless Feelings, and that he won that day, and he just went on to progress from there. He was second to what, Fisher's Cross, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In the Albert Bartlett at Cheltenham, and then ran well in what would be all age company against Solwit, or out of novice company rather, at the Aintree Festival. So he sets a really warm standard, doesn't he? He's a 1.48 rated hurdler. You know, the question mark though, 3 miles and half a furlong around Cheltenham for a chase debutant, Mark. That is an exacting test. There's no more exacting test, is it, for a chase debutant? But he's got the class from the hurdle sphere. This is a really tough but interesting race, I'd say. There's not a single horse that you could put a line through here, I don't think.
No, and African Gold's likely to be pretty short at the top of the betting, or he's going to be popular enough, isn't he? So he's probably shut the front door with AP McCoy in those JP McManus silks, a lot of ones next to the name. So there could be a little bit of value if you go beyond those two, maybe.
I would say so, yeah. They're fairly sexy profiles, aren't they? Shut the front door, beat Beeves at Aintree first time out, and has got Untold Scope, only a 6-year-old by accordion out of a Strong Gale mare. That is serious chase breeding, isn't it? Similarly, Little Beck beat a horse called Bears Affair at Utoxeter last time. I think Bears Affair's a bit of a underachiever, and it does have a £5 penalty for winning that race, as does Shut the Front Door for winning the race at Aintree. The one that I'm interested in here is a more grizzled performer that has the maximum penalty of £8 for winning the Kerry National at Listowel a couple of runs back, and that's White Star Line. I know it's a 9-year-old here, but it's been mixing it in pretty decent company. If you have a look at the form of that Guinness Kerry National, you're talking an 80 grand race there. Beat the likes of Carlingford Lock, Muirhead, Questions Answered, that's gone on to win two races in the last week, albeit over hurdles. And this horse has got plenty of experience. It was placed at the Cheltenham Festival last year behind Golden Chieftain. And while African Gold has got all the potential in the world, as has Shut the Front Door, I like the benchmark horse here. It's officially rated 1.43. It is top weight with those penalties, but it is a bit of a winner, this White Star Lane. He's turned himself into a winner in his last two spins, and I think it could be a value bet here against the more sexy profiles of the likes of African Gold and Shut the Front Door.
Okay, and we all know Brian Cooper likes a trip to Cheltenham after last year as well.
So. Very much so. I think he was three. Was it three festival winners last year? He's very much a jockey that's in demand. If you look down at the Paddy Power Gold Cup, he's on for Tony Martin there on Gift of the Gab, hasn't he? And trainers are just starting to pick up on this guy at the back end of last year about what a good talent he is and a potential champion jockey, isn't he? Just before we move away from that race, Mark, I think we've got to talk about Sam Winner, that you may recall was Paul Nicholls' nap for the meeting last year.
Was it? Yeah, it was.
I heard it on several forums that this was his nap for the entire meeting. But in keeping with Sam Winner's career, you may remember when he ran in the Triumph Furlong ground, similar to what we'd expect on Saturday. He was just outpaced, wasn't he? He's a bit of a quirky horse for my money, Sam Winner. Plenty of talent, should be suited by a step up and trip to 3 miles and that half a furlong. But I think there's more scopey ones in the field. They are Shut the Front Door and African Gold. But I think there's one with better form credentials at the top, White Star Line.
Okay, Sam Winner as well, just come back to that. One of those Paul Nicholls winners that we talked about in the first race from 2 years ago.
So it has got winning form on this card. I was there that day when Sam Winner won as well and did it very well. He leapt to the top of the Triumph Hurdle. Mark, it's on the back of that, Mark, I think. But I'm not sure. I think he's disappointed me one or two times, and some of these might just be a bit too progressive for him for me.
Okay, into Grade 3 company we go for the 150 at Cheltenham. This is the third race on the card. It's the Murphy Group Handicap Chase. We're over 3 miles and three furlongs for this one. And you could state a case for a number of these as well, Ben. Which ones have caught your eye for this?
Well, this is the race that was talking about when we started. You know, you've got horses that have established themselves winning good races the back end of last season, haven't you? You've got Godsmy Judge that won the Scottish National. So he's experienced in these type of races, picking up a good pot there. Quentin Collonge that won the Whip Bread as well. You've got Monbeg Dude. I think he won this race last year, didn't he, Monbeg Dude? What you find with this race, Mark, is it's always a really attritional test, and these horses that we're talking about that do have proven stamina credentials, Godsmy Judge winning over an extended 4 miles, Quentin Collonge winning over 3 miles 5, this 3 miles 3.5 furlongs really feels like a test at Cheltenham. A horse that I am interested in here is Gullane, who I'm quite surprised is up taking this engagement. I don't know what you think.
Find it hard to follow Gullane at the minute. He's one of those that got a bit of a reputation at the end of last season, and then disappointed me with his well, I suppose his last run wasn't too bad, but I followed him a couple of times and wasn't quite convinced.
I thought he deserved his reputation on the back of the first time that he ran in a chase. He was straight into Grade 2 company at Weatherby and showed a really good attitude in beating Super Duty there, which tells you what the stable think of him in the first instance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thrown into Grade 2 company. I've watched the race back, the Sun Alliance, countless times with Lord Windermere. He's just outpaced there on good to soft ground when the tempo really quickens, and he makes a juddering mistake down the side of the course 3 or 4 out as well. But he does run on to get beaten 10 lengths.
Yeah.
If you read David Pipe's plans for this horse this season, he's talking about real staying tests. I think that he might want softer ground than this, but if there's one horse in the race that could be better than its current mark and could be a 160 plus horse, I would say that is Gullane. So yeah, it's tough because I wanted him to really run in the Hennessy on softer ground as an ideal, but I think he might just have the requisite class to handle the good going here and perhaps see these off. So Gullane would be the selection here, Mark, I think.
Okay, and the target with him, you're saying, to the real stamina tests later on this season?
Yeah, if you read the early season prognosis for these horses, a Welsh National was muted over 3 miles 6, a real staying sort of test, or perhaps the Hennessy on soft ground, but you're talking 2 weeks away, so I was quite surprised who was uptaking this engagement on that basis. One that you can't rule out, incidentally, is Burton Port off 158. We were talking before about Finian's Rainbow, weren't we? And the fact that he's got back class. Well, Burton Port has been a top class racehorse in his time, hasn't he? He's been running in the very top races, second to Long Run as well. He's been placed in a Gold Cup, hasn't he? So, you know, this is a really good horse, fourth in the Gold Cup behind Synchronised. So he could bounce back off 158. But
had that bit of a pipe over hurdles as well, meaning they might have targeted this, just get the race into him, and
maybe so. Even though it was hurdles mark, you know, his hurdles mark is a lot lower, 150. You'd want to see a bit more than getting beaten 70 lengths by Eli Brown, wouldn't you? I do tend to agree what you're saying. That might make his price on Saturday more attractive, won't it, on the back of that? But no, Gullane, I think, is the real progressive one in this field. I think he can go on and do decent things and pick up a good pot this season, perhaps starting with this competitive race on Saturday.
Okay, on to the feature race next then. This is the 2:30, it's the Paddy Power Gold Cup Chase, a Grade 3 handicap over 2.5 miles. 20 of them in the lineup, and we have betting on site as well, so you can already have a bet in this race. And it's Champion Court and John Spirit, who are the 6-1 favourites at the time of recording. Ballinagore, the David Pipe horse, has been well backed all day yesterday. He's now 7-1. I think he was about 10-1 in the morning. Finian's Rainbow 10s with Nadia de la Vega and Rajdhani Express. 12-1 for Colour Squadron. I'm sorry if I don't choke on my own breath. Hidden Cyclone and Tap Knight both 14-1, and then 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. Punters were perhaps waiting to find out what was the first choice of the Pipe team and which Tom Scudamore would get the leg over, and the money's come for Ballinagore since.
Very much so, Mark. I think you're in danger of choking on your own breath, because this is such a competitive race. It's an absolute corker, isn't it? I've been following the anti-post movements for this race all week, and there was always the question mark over Ballinagore or Salou Flo or Dynast, and it's an old expression, but the fact that David Pipe is reliant on Ballinagore, I guess, is a tip in itself. You remember that race at Warwick that made it such a short price favourite at Cheltenham, where it beat Nice One Frankie 19 lengths. It could have been 49 that day off 1-2-3. It's up to 1-4-3 now, and there are, you know, rumours that this horse is he's pretty inconsistent. Maybe breaks blood vessels as well.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I want to be taking a chance on him now he's at single figures. Anybody that jumped on at double figures early in the week or when the decks were immediately announced, fair play to you, on a good sporting bet, but at single figures I can overlook him, I think.
Okay, plenty to overlook him with as well. You can get some real value in here if you find the winner and it's out of the first three in the betting. I mean, we're talking double figure prices barring those, so.
Definitely, this is a corking race. I mean, I was interested and I remain interested in the two JP McManus horses at the bottom of the weights there. He's only riding Tap Knight AP McCoy, you would surmise, because that's 10-stone-12 and he can't do 10-stone-3 of Nadia de la Vega and Colour Squadron, who's on 10-stone-2. I think the key race for this one here is the Rewards for Racing Novices Handicap Chase at the festival that Rajdhani Express won in the hands of Sam Whaley-Cohen. He gave him a really good ride that day. He silenced a few doubters for me. And Colour Squadron was fifth, but did go off favourite on that occasion. You might remember that Colour Squadron was the psst horse of all the JP McManus ones for the Cheltenham Festival on the premise of quite a few quiet runs in the build-up to that. One particular at Exeter where he wasn't really given a hard time. I think this Colour Squadron could still be well handicapped, you know, towards the bottom of the weights. If you look at him as a hurdler, he was a really decent hurdler. He was rated 144 at his peak. He was running in the top novice events. He was behind Cinders and Ashes in the Supreme Novice. He's jumps bred, Old Vic, Be My Native Mare. I think this one still has a little bit more untapped potential than it's shown so far over fences. Absolute featherweight here of 10-stone-2 Colour Squadron, and that is definitely on my shortlist. What about yourself? Have you got a sneak in this race?
Yeah, there's a few on the shortlist. I'd be quite keen to take on Finian's Rainbow, that's one thing. I think off top weight, given his disappointing season last year, I don't necessarily buy into the fact that it was just the ground that got to him last year. I think there's something else in there that... I don't know. Maybe,
Mark. But the glorious thing about betting for me is that this horse, you could argue, is thrown in off a mark of 163 if he comes back to his best. You know, he won a Grade 1 at Aintree 18 months ago by 7 lengths from Wishful Thinking when he was rated 173, you know. He's getting his ground here. He does need quick ground, Finian's Rainbow, to be seen at his absolute optimum. And this is a horse that can travel with the very best horses. It's a Grade 1 horse, you know.
Yep.
The fact that he's giving £6 to Rajdhani Express, who in effect is a handy £8 rather, £8 to Rajdhani Express, who's effectively a handicapper. Nicky Henderson's not running this for nothing. He had it in the Shola Chase that he perhaps could have had a pop at, but it's well handicapped. I think he knows that, and this is its chance to win a really nice handicap pot. It's got all the back class in the world. He's my second in here. I'm taking Colour Squadron as the unexposed one that I'm expecting to progress this season, but I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised if Finian's Rainbow doesn't travel like the quality horse that he is and pick these up, which he's capable of doing.
Okay. Yeah, I think Champion Court's entitled to be involved as well. I know he's pretty short in the market now, but he's back into the season last year. He ran quite well, and at Kempton in the... Where was it now?
It was the King George.
He was out in front for a very long time, wasn't he? He looked so brave, and I just thought, hey, is he going to hold on here?
Well, he looked the winner, let's be honest. He was travelling better than anything, Captain Chris, and long run in last year's King George. You know, see, again, you're talking about a horse here that's rated 157 that was mixing it with late 160, 170 performers in the shape of long run there. So from a handicapping point of view, you would say that he's got it all there too, wouldn't you? I think he might have won his first race in this country was at Cheltenham, wasn't it? Yes, I was there that day. Beat beat Sibiri by 7 lengths in a Grade 2 over hurdles. So he's got really good track form as well. Second to Serge Champ in the Deucin a couple of years ago. He's got bomb-proof form at the track, and of course he won at the April meeting last season as well. So again, if you're looking at class performers, and you tend to think on decent enough ground that you'd prefer to be looking at the top of the weights, wouldn't you? He doesn't look badly handicapped off 1.57 either, so it's difficult to put a fork in him, isn't it?
Yeah, he also finished behind Grand Cru here as well, when Grand Cru was the up-and-coming star in one of the novice chasers.
Right through Champion Court's form. It's hard to find a bad line, isn't it? He ran behind Bobsworth when he was beaten, 38 lengths? But every other race that he's ever run, he's never been beaten more than 17 lengths, which tells you what a consistent performer you're getting for your money there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Reluctantly overlooking him. Of course, you can only have one or two in a race, can't you? So I will overlook him, but he wouldn't be a big surprise if he won. An absolutely corking race. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, he could make a case for a few. I mean, Conquisto is a good horse. I just think he's a little bit on the small side. You've got Hidden Cyclone in there, who's coming here in winning form. Battle Group, who's a quickly improving horse as well. You could state a case for at least half the field here, or probably more.
I mean, Battle Group looked a dodge, didn't it? This time last year, you'd have said that he would never run up a sequence like he has, but he looked a reformed horse in winning those races twice at Aintree and Haydock last season. So again, you know, if he translate that to this season, it's wide open. That's why you're getting 6-1 the field at the point of recording. I'm going to go for one at the top and one at the bottom, Carol Vorderman style. Colour Squadron, I'm going to make the selection. Tom O'Brien in the plate. I just think it can go on from 139 this year, and that back class of Finian's Rainbow is just nagging me. It has been for the last few days. I cannot let him go on back, so they're going to be the selections. Colour Squadron the bet, Finian's Rainbow the saver.
Okay, I would love to see Finian's Rainbow bounce back as well. I do say I want to take him on, but I wouldn't be upset if he did come back with a nice big run as well. So yeah,
I think we're back to full circle here to how he would be received on that famous walkway. The crowd love to see a horse coming back at Cheltenham. They've seen so many of them over the years. Finian's Rainbow would be another for sure.
Good. Let's have a quick summary then, Ben, if you wouldn't mind. Saturday's racing at Cheltenham should be cracking. Give us your selections.
Really looking forward to this Saturday card. The first race, I'm keen to take on Royal Irish Azar. I think he might be a little bit overrated with that mark of 1.42. And one of the unexposed ones, Azza or Art Maresk. I'm going to go for Azza in the first race. I'm going to go for the more grizzled performer in the second race that won the Kerry National White Star Line to defeat the sexier profiles of Shut the Front Door and African Gold. The 150 is really tough. Nothing would surprise me winning that, but Goulain could be one that's just 160 plus performer later in the season, so he might be good enough 1.46. And the feature, the Paddy Power Gold Cup, Colour Squadron the selection there, with a little bet on Finian's Rainbow that I can't leave out. What a day's racing
it is. Thank you very much, Ben. Enjoy it on Saturday.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, man.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ben Bramley then on Saturday's racing at Cheltenham. It's going to be a cracking day to look forward to. And Mick Norton, John Budden and Darren Owen will be in the studio from 11:40 a.m. We also have racing from Lingfield, Uttoxeter and Weatherby in the afternoon. And finish the day with action on the all-weather Polytrack at Wolverhampton. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.